Go ahead and get started. We may have a few more people join us on the Zoom, but we're here this morning with Tom Bridges, Let God Arise Ministry. Why don't you just, for those who don't know, tell us about your ministry and how long it's been around, and then we can get into more specifics.
Well, it's almost blows my mind because it's gone by so fast, but 31 and a half years will be 32 years of September that we've been going into the jails in the Montgomery County and the federal jails in Montgomery, Alabama, to fulfill God's commission, you know, that Matthew 25:36, when Jesus said, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was lonely, you visited me. When I was in hospitals, you prayed for me. And then when I was in prison, you ministered to me. And whatever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So God called me back in September of 1992 into the ministry. Excuse me. Before that time, I had my own manufacturer's rep business. I used to call on heavy industry and dealt with the chemical, dealt with the corrosion industry throughout. Well, at one time, I had 8 states that I was servicing, and then I had my own company for a short period of time, and I just felt in my heart that I wasn't fulfilling my purpose on this earth. And I started crying out to God. I said, Lord, you know, like Isaiah, in Isaiah 6:8 was one of my go-to scriptures. Isaiah would be praying and God would be talking, and Isaiah would be listening to God speaking, you know, who will go for us? And in Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah raised his hand and volunteered. He said, well, if nobody else will go, send me. And so, of course, at that time, I don't think Isaiah realized exactly what he was saying and who he was talking to, because all of a sudden he became very, very convicted. He said, oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And that's when God touched his took a coal, sent an angel, touched his lips, and of course from that point on, just the word of God came flowing out of his heart. And we have more prophecies. There's 126 prophecies just in the book of Isaiah, all pointing to Jesus. And so when I read that scripture, you know, I was convicted in my own heart. You know, Lord, this can't be the only reason you put me on this earth, is just to make money. I mean, that's basically what what we do in our positions, to take care of our families. And so I started crying out, and God answered that prayer request. I started getting calls. Literally, I started going into nursing homes. I started going into Covenant Village, and one of the very first people that I prayed for to receive Jesus was a Jewish man by the name of Joseph Katz, who acknowledged Jesus as his Messiah. And then started getting calls into go to the city jail. And Frank Lee, and at that time I became a Gideon, and you know all that the Gideons entail. And then about 1992, Chuck Staub, the who has recently gone to be with the Lord himself, he just passed away not too long ago. But Chuck Staub used to be a member at Trinity. He and his wife Ann were there, and he was the facilities chaplain. I think there was only two chaplains before me, One was O.B. Matheson, who was John Ed Matheson's uncle, and then Chuck Staub took his place, and he was there. He was working with Aronoff and was also the chaplain at the county jail. And he was there for about 8 years. I believe his wife had cancer, so they moved back to Louisiana. And he was praying, and he didn't know that I was praying at about the same time. I would like to go more full-time ministry than just doing sort of lay work, layman's work. And all of a sudden, Chuck Staub called me. He said, "Tom," he says, "I don't, you know." He told me his situation, and he said, "I've been praying for somebody to replace me." And he says, "Your name keeps God keeps putting on my heart." And then he said, "Would you consider, taking the chaplaincy?" And of course, my first question was, I hate to say this, but I said, well, how is this a paid for? I mean, do you?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, how do you live?" And he just looked at me. He said, "By faith." I thought, what does all that mean? By faith. And I thought, I don't think Beth is going to buy into this. By faith. So anyway, I stepped out and I said, and we prayed, and I said, "Yes, this is what I've been praying for. This is what I've been asking God for, to give me an open door." And of course, I thought to myself, there's not too many. I mean, Lord, what couldn't you use me in a church, setting? Or and I just felt peace, that this is where I want you to go. And it's been not only a delight but a great joy. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else, because, and I've been saying for 31 and a half years, before I even go down to the jails to start ministering, that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are already down there waiting for us. And all we do is just walk into his presence. He's always faithful. He's always there. He always shows up. And it's just like yesterday, when his presence is so strong, I mean, these guys just start crying. I mean, you see them wiping tears away from their eyes, because, I believe that no matter what kind of crimes people have committed, I don't care who they are, they're human beings. I mean, they're people that, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd probably be in their same shoes. I'd probably be incarcerated. The life that
Well,
the life I was living before I became a believer. And Jesus cleaned up my life. And I'm sorry, go
yes,
ahead.
sir. I was just going to ask, so the jail that lets you come in and you have just open Bible studies for anybody who wants to participate?
It's all volunteer. No, they don't have to go. I mean, it's not something that's required, but and I tell them, I said, John 6:44 says that no one can come to the Lord unless they're drawn. And it's amazing to see the hunger for God, the hunger for truth, the hunger for unconditional love, the hunger for forgiveness. Broken hearts, broken lives. I was sharing, if you think about majority of men don't even know who their fathers are, never had a father. Most raised by the matriarchal side of the family. And then all of a sudden, they start hearing the love of the Father and how much God loves them. And it puts their whole life into a different perspective. You know, how they should become and how they are they're men of God. You know, they're God calls them their own son because of what Jesus has done for each one of us. And I can comprehend and understand that because, you know, my mother and father divorced when I was 5 years of age. And I pretty much grew up without a father figure. And when I came to know Jesus Christ personally and came to know my Heavenly Father, I mean, it my whole life changed to know that all this time I've been loved by my Father in heaven. And when they begin to understand that, you know, the value that God has placed on their life. And I tell them, I said, you know, if you want to know how valuable you are to God, just look at the cross. And Jesus stretched out his arms, not only to pay a debt that you and I could never have paid, but he's stretching out his arms to say, you know, come home and welcome home. And that's how valuable. And when they hear that there's value in their life, that their creator would lay down his own life to bring them into a relationship, not only with himself, but with our Father in heaven. You know, it just puts everything back into perspective. And I think that's the void that's in all of us. You know, all of us have this God hunger because we were all created by the same Father, the same God. And it finally hits them. You know, Satan does such a great job of blinding people and deceiving people. But then all of a sudden, when the light turns on and they hear the truth, it fills their soul, it fills their heart, and they start realizing, you know, this is who and what I should be doing. You know, anyway, that's.
Well, how often do you have like a weekly Bible study? Do y'all study, you know, books of the Bible, or you just have a devotion every week? How does that work?
I've always, and I share this. I've always depended upon the Holy Spirit to lead and to teach, and I try to stay out of God's way. And I'll never know really what the Lord wants to talk about until we start talking, and then all of a sudden God just directs it. I know that seems sort of strange, you know, because people are used to having a certain way of doing things, but I've learned over the years that you know, God wants to get down into the heart of the person. Well, I don't know the heart of the person, but the Lord knows the heart of every single one of us. And all of a sudden, the subject that we start talking about, I mean, these guys start looking at each other. They start poking each other with the elbow. They said, "Brother Tom, you don't realize, but we were just talking about this very subject last night, or we were just praying about this, or everything that you're saying is exactly what we were just talking about." And I said, "That's because God wants to confirm the reality of who he is." I said, I'm not a fly on the wall. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no clue. And this has been going on for 31 years, and it just blows my mind. So, you know, the old saying, you can't con a convict. And can't pull the wool over their eyes. You know, they've done been through the street, and they've heard all the stories, and they've been through all the shams and scams and stuff in their own personal life. And then all of a sudden, when something real comes into their heart, they can't deny it. Jesus is alive and Jesus is real.
How many usually attend your Bible studies?
I've had just sometimes just one person shows up, and I've had, you know, as many as a whole Actually, I've had some. They'll only now. It's changed over the years. Used to have a whole chapel full, 15, 20 guys at a time, and they've limited our services to no more than about eight per service. I don't know if that's for security reasons or whatever, but I'll call for a cell, and one cell pod has three different cell blocks, and each cell block has anywhere from 30, 40, 50 men per cell block. And so I'll call, say, for three D, E, and F, for an example. I'll call for 3D, and man, all of a sudden 20 guys come to the door and want to come to chapel, but they'll only let eight, no more than about 10, come in. And then they got to get out there and say, yes, you guys have to go back. So then we have to do it, repeat, and get another service and get the other guys, to come in. But I've also just had sometimes just one. And I'll never forget, years ago, this one guy came out of the HIV. I might have shared this with y'all before. The guy's name was Leonard, and he came out of the HIV section. And so Leonard came into chapel, and I said, well, nice to meet you, Leonard. I said, can you tell me a little bit about your relationship with God? And he looked at me and says, I don't have one. And I said, has anybody ever told you about Jesus Christ? And he said, no. So I, told him the gospel, and said, would you like to receive Jesus? And he said, sure. And so we prayed, and he asked Jesus to come into his heart. And so then I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want to do next? And at that time, we were in the chapel with we had a little sink, and the Lord said, I want you to baptize him. So I said, Leonard, I said, have you ever been baptized? He said, no. I said, would you like to be baptized? He said, yes. So I took him in over the sink, and I baptized him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just, all I could do was just pour water on top of his head, and baptized him. So then we went back in, and Leonard sat down, and I said, well, Lord, what else do you want to do? He says, I want you to pray for his healing. And I looked at Leonard, and I said, Leonard, would you like to be healed? And he, man, his eyes got as big as saucers. He looked up at me, and he said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's sort of a simple question. It's sort of a, yes or no question. Would you like to be healed? And he said, well, yes. He says, but do you know what I have? And I said, that's not the question. I said, I don't really care what you have. Do you want to be healed? And he said, yes. So I anointed him with some oil and prayed for him. And that was it. Leonard went back to his cell block, and I never saw Leonard again till about 6 months later. At that time, Dick Amberg was the Montgomery Advertiser editor, and he wanted to visit and see what was going on in the ministry. So he came down, and Lieutenant Finley at that time, when we walked in, at that time we were doing services at nighttime, and so she said, Tom, she said, if you got a few minutes, there's an inmate over here that's been screaming for you. She said, if that chaplain never comes back in, I want to speak to him. And so she went and opened up the door, and out comes Leonard. And old Leonard looked at me, and he said, Brother Tom, he said, you ain't gonna believe this. And I looked at him, I said, you got healed, didn't you? He said,
Thank you.
He said, "How did you know that?" He said, "Tom, I had full-blown AIDS." He said, "I went back and got checked," and he said, "It was completely gone." He said, I didn't believe it. And I went back and got checked a second time, and the test came back negative. He said, I went back a third time because I still didn't believe it. And he says, it came back negative. And then all of a sudden he looked at me. He said, "You know, I was a young child and a neighbor led me into homosexual lifestyle." He said, "But since I become a Christian," he said, "my whole life has completely changed." And God did a miracle in Leonard's life. You know, Dick Amberg was standing there next to me. I said, "Well, here's your story, right?" Story. You need a story, you got one.
What do you find is kind of a common theme for what, I mean, I know I'm sure they pray for, to get out of jail, but is there more of a heart issue that seems to be, more evident now, maybe that's changed over the years?
Of course, that's always, the one of the top 10, Julie, getting out of jail. I mean, that's
Do you have people reach out to you once they get out of jail, reach back out to you?
yeah, I do, and I encourage them to, we have Bible studies on Friday morning, and Jean has been a part of one we have on Friday morning that I've helped to facilitate. And But I encourage them. I say, "Look, once you're out, you need to be around On Fire Christians. You can't go back to the lifestyle because, number one, when you have light living inside of you, the people that you're hanging out with are not going to comprehend and understand your relationship with Jesus Christ." And I said, "I'm telling you this by experience. When I got born again, all of my friends I quote grew up with thought I completely lost my mind. You know, I was a Jesus freak. I didn't like smoking dope anymore. I liked passing scriptures instead of joints, and they couldn't understand why my lifestyle was changed. And all I wanted to do was share the Word of God and share the Bible with them, and they just couldn't understand it." And I said, "When you go back to your old friends and you start telling them that you're a Christian, they probably won't, be too, accepting of that." So I said, "My recommendation is you need to be around men. You need to be around people who are on fire for Jesus." And I said, "If you have a place, if you don't can't find anybody, you come join us." I said, I meet with guys that are on fire for the Lord, and the only way that you're going to stay on fire for the Lord is to be around the fire that's in other people." So we're always reaching out and trying to encourage them not just to go through receiving Jesus, but to and I encourage them. I said, "Look, you have when they accept Jesus," I said, "this is not where you it's not just to get saved to go to heaven." I said, "You have a ministry." I said, "Your ministry is to touch the people that God brings across your path. And that's how the kingdom of God grows." I said, "You're going to be able to reach people on the streets and your families, where you live, that I won't ever be able to reach." And so, it's a whole lifestyle change for them. And they they understand. I explain it to them, and they understand what transformation and transition they're having in their own personal life.
Anybody else have any questions around the table? All right. Well, is there any? I know you said this with your prayer requests and many of the people, the prisoners, but do you have any prayer requests for you individually that we could lift up this morning?
Just continue to pray for, my health, and not that I'm in bad health, but just to pray, pray that God will keep me and the volunteers that come down in our lane on the right track with the right words and the right message that that ministers and touches the hearts of these individuals, and that God will create an atmosphere of a revival. Literally, that I've just learned yesterday that the city is starting what's called an Ignite program, and Sheriff Cunningham, they're taking a pattern. I believe it's out of North Carolina, where they've had tremendous success of not just releasing inmates, but back out on the streets, but they want them to be trained and educated and to be able to get into good jobs. And so this Ignite program is something that's brand new. And Captain James Dill, who's my direct contact for the ministry in the jails, said, "Tom, this is something that's just being initiated by the city, and I want you to focus on this particular cell block because this is where all the new Ignite individuals will be housed." And so I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm excited." So the city has actually taken a step forward in trying to do even more with the incarcerated and helping. So of course we know that all the jobs in the world aren't going to change, aren't going to amount to a hill of beans unless they have a heart change and have the Lord living inside them. Just pray that God will give success to this new program that's coming out.
Neat. That's encouraging to hear. All right. Well, we can move to a time of prayer. Bubba, if you would open us, and Tom will close. Tom, the here, Tom. But if anybody else would like to pray in the meantime,
Okay.
please.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be with Tom, and we thank you for the years he spent in this ministry. And I really did not realize it had been that long, but his willingness to step out in faith to do something what the Lord has called him to do, and then be led by the power of the Holy Spirit, which really takes that within the prison where he's working. So I thank you for his heart and his desire and his years working with these very difficult people. Lord, we don't really understand what goes on in their lives, but I pray that you would be with him, that is, he works with the employees there, and the opportunity he has to get into the different cells and more, and bring in volunteers to help him with the work he's doing. Lord, we do pray for the new program. That's very encouraging to hear that these people, even when they come to know the Lord, they need encouragement and help to be able to get out. And as Tom reminds all of us, if you go back to your same friends, you're going to have the same problem. So that these people could find believers to be involved with and to encourage them and keep them away from the problems that got them in trouble. So in our country, and probably in the world, but maybe more in our country, the criminals' crime is just rampant. People just get sucked into it for so many different reasons. Probably drugs is a major problem there. We don't understand it. I don't understand it more than you do, but it was very clear you told us to go into prison. So thank you for Tom following your lead there to tell us what to do. So we have so many opportunities every day of people we run into. So give us Holy Spirit power to share with people. Give us a heart for the lost, and Lord, give us a heart for our city and our prisons. So thank you again, Lord, for Tom and what he's doing. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Lord, thank you for allowing us this opportunity to hear more about this ministry. And we just pray that you would continue to open hearts to your love and to the message that Tom brings into the jails. We ask that you be with all the individual prayer requests of the inmates that were sent to us, Lord. And you know what they are and all the different problems that they have that we don't understand. We just lift those up to you today and continue to be with Tom and his safety as he is out there preaching your word, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this ministry and for Tom and his faithfulness in serving you in the jails. And pray that you would continue to bless his efforts. We pray that you would continue to give him good health and that you would guard him and protect him, that Satan would not distract or distort. We are thankful that as he goes, he has a sense of your spirit leading, and pray that your spirit would be strong with him and with those who go with Tom. And we thank you that these people in the jails are responding in the way they are, and that there is evidence of your spirit at work in their lives as well. And Lord, we pray that the gospel would continue to go, and that you would provide enable the prisoners to have access to Tom and those who go with him. Pray that the limitations that seem to have been placed here would not hinder the work of the ministry. And yet we pray that as these men's lives are changed, that then as they're released, that they would be faithful to follow you, that they would not fall back into the same neighborhood and same habit patterns and thought patterns, but that their faith in you would direct them in a new way. We're thankful for this new program that the jails have started here, and ask that you would bless that, and that it would be fruitful in terms of helping prisoners find employment, but that it would not just be employment. Even as Tom's own testimony, he described the sense of a purpose that came to him as he began to follow your leading. And certainly that would be true for each of us. We pray that we too would be sensitive to your Spirit's leading, and that we would be found faithful of your blessings, that we would be good stewards of those blessings. So, Father, in this time, we are grateful to you, grateful for the technology, grateful for this ministry, and pray that all of us would serve and glorify you today. In Christ's name I ask, amen.
Amen.
One last thing I was just thinking about, and I hope that y'all will pray for this lady. Her name's Amy Dukes. She was just an innocent lady. She takes her husband by a Toyota, pick up his vehicle, and goes down Vaughn, parked at the stoplight over by Red Lobster, and two cars driving down Atlanta Highway start shooting at each other. And a stray bullet struck her as she's parked at the red light in the shoulder and severs her spine, and she's in the hospital. And just keep Amy Dukes on your prayer list, because this kind of thing has an impact on all of us. You know, when you can't even go drive out and park at a red light without something possibly having an impact on your life. I mean, it just, my heart really goes for her, and I hope and pray that the whole Christian community in Montgomery, Alabama will keep this lady lifted up and pray for a supernatural miracle in her life. Anyway, I just, that was when y'all were praying, her name came up.
In a hard situation. Well, thanks for joining us this morning.
And thank y'all so much. I mean, I can't thank you enough for the support and the you know, just all the years that Trinity has had our back, and it's just thank you. Thank you from my heart to your hearts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love y'all.
Good having breakfast with you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. Wait a second. Yeah, my protein shake.
All right.
See you later. All right. Bye-bye.